have your Bibles this evening, if you'll turn to Ephesians chapter number 5, we'll just read one verse, verse number 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. I'm going to try with the Lord's help preach upon a subject that is heavy on my heart, and I almost don't know where to begin. As I think about it, as I review the sins of my youth and think upon those things and how some of them came about, in this verse we're directed towards a certain awareness. We live in a world that is changing so extremely fast. When I was a kid, I was never tempted to misuse the telephone because it was hooked to a cord in the dining room. I mean, I was in the middle of the house when I used the telephone. My, how things have changed since that time. I can remember my father bringing home this device, which he told me would allow us to record shows that were on the television. It's antiquated anymore. That first device was sold out. It sounded like a 747 coming in for a landing when you were rewinding, and when you hit the stop button, it sounded like the air brakes on a Mack truck. So foreign to most people today. How things have changed. And if you think about your lifetime, those of you that are older than I am, how the commercials have changed. How that clothing was sold on plastic mannequins. About 8 or 9 years ago, I began to try to preach on these things, and I was young and prideful and didn't know how to say what I wanted to say, and I was accused of being holier than others or thinking I was, and I was written about in Baptist papers, and I was torn apart for some of the things that I desired to bring across. And I hope that I don't come across in a wrong way. But I began to be afraid that there was a generation that did not have to deal with the things that my generation had to deal with, and therefore didn't know how we were dealing with the things that we were dealing with. Didn't know how to protect us. Didn't know there was anything to protect us from. My parents were some of the most protective parents of any that I knew. I really didn't know anybody who had to live by the same rules that I had to live by. But that didn't change the fact that I was sneakier and craftier than my parents ever could have imagined. And we get into things. And I fear, as I look at my children, I wonder, what will I be ignorant to? What is it that I won't be prepared for? What is it that I won't know? What is it that I'm going to miss? I don't want to miss anything. 2 Corinthians 2:11 was quoted Thursday night about not being ignorant of Satan's devices. As we think about our ever-changing world, the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I've heard people say, well, I trust my kids. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. As far as trust goes, and as far as getting into trouble, I did get into a lot less trouble than most of my friends. And for that reason, I had a fair amount of trust placed on me, of which a lot of was misplaced. In this ever-changing world, never have we been so pumped full of sensuality, we could go on and on. misinformation, covetousness from more angles than we could have ever dreamed of even 20, 30 years ago. We have lost whole generations. And the ones that have made it through have not made it through unscathed. I'm here to tell you that those that have made it have not made it unscathed, have not made it without deep scars, deep wounds. As I was pondering the idea of technology that was brought out on Thursday night, I thought about the evolution that we've gone through. You know, the first forms of media were, or mass production of media was the monastery. They would copy documents there in the monastery. People, handwriting. That was to be replaced by the printing press, which was an invention that spread the Bible all over the world, but at the same time also much filth. At the same time. The telegraph would make instant transfer of information much faster. The telephone would make it more personable. Radio would make it worldwide and be able to cross the oceans without a cable. TV was soon accompanied by VCR, DVD, cable, satellite. Then when I was a young boy, a young teenager in the prime of temptation, came along the internet. And then nowadays we have the smartphone and so on and so on. You know, as I think about these things and the approach that we have taken to these things has not been a good one. In my house, we have a box of medicine. I mean, we kind of hoard medicine because we can't really afford to go to the doctor all the time. So we save the Tylenol, and we save the antibiotic, and we save whatever we've got there for when we sprain something or break something or are sick. And we keep that box. We keep every medicine in there in a childproof bottle, and we keep it up on the top shelf. We would never think of just leaving it in their bedroom and saying, you just sort through that on your own. But that's the approach that we have taken. And my fear is that the generation that has raised this generation had already passed the deepest points of temptation in their lifetime and did not estimate at all what was happening to the generation behind them. I know this to be so. We did not know. We would never think of doing that with the medicine, but we do it with the radio. Just whatever you want. You sort out whatever you feel comfortable with listening to, and well, it'll harm you. It really will. The same thing with the television. Young boys having a TV alone in their bedroom, it'll never work. You say, well, we don't have cable. It'll still never work. It'll never work. I don't like watching television without my wife. Some commercial comes on and her hand's in front of my face before I even know what's going on. And I'm thankful for that. Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter number 9. I want us to look at a blunder that happened. This idea, and I'm not going to preach against technology. It's not my message. The focal point of my message is being unaware. I can remember pastors preached both here and many years ago at a Bible conference a message that has stayed with me. And we'll read the verse. It's in Deuteronomy 22:8. About putting, when you build a house, putting battlements on the roof. Making protections for the home. And I want to talk about that a little bit, but in Genesis chapter number 9, after Noah got off from the ark and things were going good, notice verse number 20, Genesis 9, and Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine, and he was drunken, and was uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness, of his father, and told his two brethren without. We've read that before. I'm sure we've heard that before. But just notice all of the ands with me. And Noah began to be a husbandman. He became a gardener. Nothing wrong with being a gardener. And he planted a vineyard. Nothing wrong with the vineyard. And he drank of the wine. And at that time, nothing wrong with drinking the wine. And he was drunken. And he was uncovered. And his youngest son. You see the progression there? And this, and this, and this, and this, and this. I'm sure that if Noah had thought that what happened to his youngest son and him would have taken place, that either he would have never began the progression at all, or he would have placed some protections in there, that this wouldn't have happened. It was unthinkable. It was unforeseen. He was unaware. We see that progression. He went from husbandman to vineyard keeper to drinking the wine to drunken. There's a progression there. And then he was uncovered. And then his son sinned greatly against him and his father and the Lord. Notice the reaction of the two sons that were learned. Obviously, such behavior was known to not be acceptable in their household. Obviously, the older two had learned, had known some things, had some convictions, and noticed the precaution. We saw the progression. Now notice the precaution that the other brothers took. Certainly, they were taught that this was an evil thing because they were so very careful. Notice how very careful they were. Shem and Japheth, verse 23, took a garment, laid it on both of their shoulders, and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. They were so careful that they should not see anything that would defile them. They were so careful. And I think of all the things that have come into our lives. And again, nothing, you know, if we were going to just gripe against technology alone, then we should be equally mad at the printing press, the telegraph, the telephone, the radio, and so on. But we need awareness. We've got to be aware. We've got to be aware of everything that comes into our home. We've got to inspect it. We've got to look at it. None of these things are necessary things. And we've got to look at them appropriately. Husbands and wives have to protect each other. And then they have to protect their children. Notice, turn with me to Exodus chapter 21. Exodus 21 and verse 28. If an ox gore a man or a woman, that they die. Now an ox was kind of a form of technology, I guess. It kind of helped out around the farm, and you could get more work done with an ox. But there's a danger to having an ox. There's a certain amount of danger to having an ox or a bull or whatever you have. You have to respect it. You have to guard it. You have to chain it. You have to know it. If an ox gore a man or a woman that they die, then that ox shall surely be stoned. You know, there comes a time that if there's an issue, some things might have to go. When we read in the New Testament, when some people got right with the Lord, they burned their curious books. There may be a time that it needs to go. Then the ox shall surely be stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be quit. It's not the owner's fault. There's an accident. We dealt with it. We got rid of it. But if the ox were wont to push with his horn in the time past, and it hath been testified to his owner, and he hath not kept him in, but that he hath killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and the owner also shall be put to death. If you know that there is something that is possibly troublesome in your life, you have a responsibility to protect people. You have that responsibility to deal with that, to protect that. Notice verse 33, if a man shall have an open pit, or if a man shall dig a pit and not cover it, and an ox or an ass shall fall therein, the owner of the pit shall make it good and give money unto the owner of them, and the dead beast shall be his. You dig a pit. If you create a situation that's potentially harmful, you say, well, I know the pit is there and I'm not going to fall in it. Good, fine. You might say, I have a TV and I have no problem with it. Good, fine. You have a responsibility to protect your children, your grandchildren, and your spouse. You have a responsibility not to bring danger into their lives. And again, I'm not preaching against these things. I'm preaching against unawareness, being unaware. Deuteronomy 22 and verse 8, a message our pastor has preached. Deuteronomy 22, verse 8, when thou buildest a new house, the word new there brings us the idea that we're early on in the situation. That's when to do it. Early on in the situation, when our kids are young, when they're little. Don't say someday we'll get around to building some protections into our lives. No, right now. When thou buildest a new house, then thou shalt make a battlement for thy roof. Our pastor has brought out several times that that's like a railing, so that nobody would fall off. That thou bring not blood upon thy house if any man fall from thence. Could you imagine the idea of someone falling spiritually in your home? Falling spiritually in your home. Let me boil this down. Just some suggestions. You can do what you want, but to boil this down is some battlements, some railings. I would say no television alone, certainly not for young men. It's not going to work. And I don't know, because I've never been a girl, but I know that there are some pretty messed up girls in this world. I know just from dealing with the public in my office that there are girls that so crave male attention, it's unreal to me. I observe this. They'll be picking out a pair of glasses, and I can see they've got too much makeup on, they care too much about themselves, and they have no self-esteem. This is, I believe, a product of some of the things that we see and hear and are pumped into our lives. And they have no self-esteem, and I'll see this girl walking around trying on a pair of glasses, hoping no one sees her. And my employee's trying to tell her what looks nice on her, and she won't listen to her, and I've got them pegged. I can come out and say, well, that looks really nice on you. And I can see them perk up. And I can see how much they crave that attention. And my employee will just shake her head in disbelief, but it's common. And I hate to say it, but I could make somebody buy something ugly just because I gave them the attention. This is the world that we live in. I know it affects women as much as men. I can't say that I understand it as much as I do as being a young man, but as a young man, I was wounded by these things. I'm not blaming anybody but myself, but I feel as though those around us had no idea the things that were coming into our lives so fast and so quickly. I would recommend as a battlement or as a railing, no cable or satellite without parental controls, strong passwords. You're going to have to be smart about these things. You know, I tell you, when I was a young man, I could guess just about any password my dad put on anything. That's the truth. You've got to have to be smart. We're going to have to care about these things. And you might be saying, well, I would never think that anybody would... That's the problem. That's the point of my message. We would never think. And the unthinkable happens. That's what happens. Failing to plan is planning to fail. I would recommend no internet without filters and accountability software. These things are readily available, cheap, easy to use. What is our reason? The only reason that I can think of is not that we're horrible people, but we're simply unaware. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Look at the numbers. I'm scared to death. I mean, the numbers are less than 50%. They're less than 20%, it seems like, the survival rate. And I'm fishing with a bigger net. I mean, I look at my family and I'm bewildered. I'm scared to death when I look at the statistics and I look at the size of my family. And it scares me to death. And I wonder, and I say to my wife as we drive in the car, what is it that we're going to miss that our parents missed, that people didn't know, people wouldn't realize? We're living in a day in which PG-13 allows full nudity. And a rated R rating is given for religious content. Strong religious themes will give a movie an R rating. This is the world that we live in. We have to adapt. We have to move with it. We have to change. The next railing I would recommend is no social networking without accountability. It's got to be accountability. You know, when my wife and I got involved in social networking, we said, I'm going to friend you, you're going to friend me, I'm going to have your password, you're going to have my password. Do I want to cheat on my wife? No. But do I want to be tempted? No. Don't even want to be tempted. Don't even want it to go through my mind, because once it's gone through my mind, it's a sin. You have to protect not just from the action, you have to protect one another's hearts. And if you completely remove the opportunity, Brother Grigsby mentioned that in his message. He said, I am not tempted to commit adultery because I'd have to get my wife's permission. She's always with me. And that's the agreement I have. You know, if I can't take my wife somewhere that I got to go out of town and stay at a hotel and preach, I'm not going. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go without my wife. I'm not going to put myself in some kind of a situation like that. I'm not going to be in a situation where there's long-term exposure from my wife. It's not going to happen. Because if the thought even runs through my mind, I'm ruined. I have sinned. I have defiled myself. And I can't accomplish what God has called me to accomplish in His Word. So I would recommend that husbands and wives have each other's Facebook, email, passwords, etc. Cell phone passwords, whatever it may be. My wife and I, we share the same cell phone. I love it. Because I don't even have to worry about someone trying to do something to me. Because she reads everything that comes across my phone, and I read everything. I mean, I'm glad that I don't even have to worry about it. I mentioned before, when I was a kid, the telephone had a cord in the middle of the house. Young kids do not need to be alone on the phone. Say inappropriate things, get too comfortable with one another, doesn't need to happen. You say, well, I don't think... That's the problem. That's the problem, is that we don't think. We don't think anything will ever happen. That is the problem. That is the issue. There's software you can get for your smartphone. I recommend you get it. Be careful what magazines and mailers you subscribe to, women. Be very careful. They'll ruin your young women. And they'll ruin your young men equally as much. The things in there will destroy. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. And the danger, I want to make clear that the danger is not that there might be one accidental exposure. The danger is that your son or daughter would get sucked into something that they would never, ever return from. These things I'm testifying to you from my own past have a grip on you that will bring you down. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 8, the whole chapter is really good, and I wish we had time to dig into all of it. In verse number 1, now as touching things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. When these issues come about in the church, usually somebody gets puffed up on one side. Oh, we don't do that, so we're better than other people. And then somebody on the other side gets all puffed up, and they say, well, I have the liberty to do that. And they're puffed up because both of them have a certain amount of knowledge, and that doesn't work out. And he says in verse 2, he just puts the whole knowledge thing away. He says, if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things sacrificed, offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many or lords many, but unto us there is but one Lord, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience of an idol unto this hour eat as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. I'll point out that word weak there, and we're going to come back to that. Verse 8, but meat commendeth us not to God, for neither whether we eat are we the better, or whether we eat not are we the worse. And that goes for everything we do or don't do in this life. None of it commends us to God. The only commendation we have to God is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So the idea of getting puffed up because, say, you don't have any of these things, or you don't use any technology, or you do because you feel God has given you liberty, neither one of you is any better with God. That's not the discussion. So going on here, verse 9, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block unto them that are weak. First of all, you don't know who is weak. You don't know. If we were to have a former alcoholic in our midst, and they were going to stay the night with us, we might be careful to put away the cough syrup, not leave anything alcoholic around that might... We wouldn't want to be the cause of their relapse. We would fear greatly being the cause of them stumbling. But with spiritual issues, we don't often know who's spiritually weak. We don't really know. In verse number 7 is a different word weak than is verse number 9. They're very similar. But one just means generally without strength, verse number 7. Just generally without strength. In verse number 9, means diseased or feeble. I would submit that every young Christian and every young person is just generally without strength. They're young, they're weak, susceptible to much temptation. And then there's another category of weak, which is diseased or feeble. You know, there are things in this world that will disease you. And they will make you prone to stumble, prone to fall. You are in danger of catching a disease, and not a physical one, a spiritual one. Oh, how I wished when I was a young man that somebody would have said, if you get involved with that, it will ruin you. It will cling to you, and you will not get rid of it. But many were just not aware. And I know what my temptations are, but in the world that we live in, there are vast things. There's online gambling. There are places that people can start to meet one another and chat with one another. There are all types of... It's broad. It's vast. Some people are just addicted to shopping. And they can't stop. They order things, they don't even want them. Boxes show up on a regular basis, they can't stop. Boxes just keep on coming, credit cards keep getting full, and they can't stop. And they have gotten addicted to this feeling they get when they make a purchase. They have their own liquor cabinet in their soul. And they go for another hit. And they go for another click. And they keep going, and they cannot stop. And they're stuck in a cycle that begins with temptation, and then failure, and then regret. And they just keep going around. Temptation, failure, regret. It's an awful condition to be in. Well, we're in 1 Corinthians. Turn with me to chapter number 6. And I had hundreds of verses, and I was just trying to pare them down. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And he says in verse 12, I'd love to read all of this, but verse 12, he said, all things are lawful for me. You can use all of the conveniences of this life. There's nothing in and of itself. And that was made clear to us on Thursday, that in and of itself, nothing wrong with conveniences. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things aren't spiritually profitable to us. All things are lawful for me, but notice this next part. I will not be brought under the power of any. The things of this world, we've got to warn the generation coming behind us, and we've got to understand as parents and as grandparents that these things will bring their power over us. Notice in Psalms 19, I'm speaking as someone who has been brought in the past under the power of things. And I tell you, you're in for a battle. When something has your mind, you are in for a battle. And it could be anything. It could be bitterness. When something has your mind, you're in for a battle, such like you have never known. Notice in Psalms 19, and it can be anything. Verse 3, let's back up. Verse 12, who can understand his errors? Oh, if we could understand them on the front side, they wouldn't be there. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. I love that song, brother. I love that song. It made me weep. Made me weep. But I thought about having it sung tonight. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. That idea of sin having dominion. We've got to warn our children, our grandchildren, and those coming up behind us that it's not that you might just fall, but it's that you might fall and you may never come back. It may continue to grind you lower and lower and lower. I was listening on the radio to the confessions of a former professional gambler. And being that he was a professional blackjack player, he didn't realize that he was addicted, because it was a job and he made money every time he did it. But then when he retired, he realized he was addicted. And he got into online gambling and he started playing poker, which is a completely different thing. I don't know much about either one. But being completely different things, he was terrible at it. But it didn't matter. He was so addicted to the thrill of it, even losing filled the need that he had. And he kept gambling for larger and larger sums every time he lost. But he kept going larger and larger until he was completely broke, completely useless, completely destroyed his life and pushed away everybody that was close to him. They'll have dominion over you. They'll bring you under their power. The Apostle Paul brings this out several times, that idea. Turn with me to Romans 14. Romans 14, verse 1, we find this word weak again. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. This goes on today. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him which eateth, for God hath received him. I may have some convictions and some things that you find strange, and you know that it is what it is. Verse 4, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another esteemeth every day alike. You know, these things aren't, some things just, they're not that big a deal. And each one, as long as they're doing what they're doing unto the Lord, and some of these are a matter of preference or however you deal with some of these things. The fact is, and Paul always gets back to the point, is that we need to be aware. We have got to be aware. Notice verse 21. Well, let's back up to verse 20. There's so many good verses in here, but verse 20, he says, "For meat, destroy not the work of God." You know, for your rights to enjoy life, don't destroy the work of God. For your rights to pleasure, your rights to television, your rights to internet or cable. "All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine." You know, by this time, it sounds like wine had become an issue in the church of contemplation. People that say, "Show me that," well, that's in the New Testament. That's right there. It had already become an issue to where they were saying, "You know, we really don't need to drink wine anymore. And we're getting to a place where that doesn't have to be a beverage, and there's issues, and there's temptations." And it sounds as though that God's people had come to a place where they said, "You know what? We're done with this. You know, we need to make a stand here because it's not necessary and it's destroying us." You know, we've got to do the same thing. We've got to look around and open our eyes, and there's some things that just may not be necessary. Some things you might be able to, like the pit you can put a lid on, the ox you can put a chain on, and we need to do some of those things. There's no reason not to do some of those things. There's no reason when you're picking out your new smartphone that you can't go with a provider that offers a filter. There's no reason. There's no reason that you can't protect your children. And I don't understand why so many kids have phones anyway. I'm not sure I understand it. There's an Apple commercial where I see a little baby playing with an iPhone, and I cringe every time I see it. I cringe because I know what unguarded technology will do to you if no one's there to protect you, if no one's there to warn you, if no one's there to guide you. When you're young, you will not make good decisions. There was never a time that my dad said, "You know, Mark, I know you like to tinker around. Go out in the pole barn and just take whatever tools you think you can handle. Just whatever you think you can handle. There are tools out there that he told me I could not touch. I still don't touch. I look at them and I go, That old acetylene tank with rotten hoses, this looks like a bomb to me. I don't know if those things leak. I don't want to touch them." Dad had more faith in those old tools than I had. That old lathe in the corner with dull chisel bits, I'm not sure I want a dull chisel flying back at me. You know, I just kind of look at that and I go, that's not for me. We would never think of just saying, whatever you think you can handle. And it's not just kids. Husbands and wives put each other in horrible positions all the time. Horrible positions husbands and wives put each other in. With their friends. In all kinds of situations. Notice what he said there in verse 21. "It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine nor anything." He just leaves it open because, you know, the world is going to change. "Nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak." Stumbling is just simply falling. Anything that'll make your brother fall. And watch out for anything that'll just make your brother fall. And again, we're not guarding against just a physical fall, but we're guarding against a mental and spiritual fall. My wife was reading on Facebook, somebody posted on there, "Women, you need to wear what you want other women to wear around your husband." And that's the truth. Dress how you would want women to dress around your husband. Notice the next one, offended. That word offended is a lot deeper than, everywhere that occurs in the New Testament is a lot deeper than just, it's not just, oh, you've offended me. That word offended there is trapped or ensnared. So first of all, we ought to be careful not to make our brother fall. Next of all, we ought to do nothing that would cause them to be trapped or ensnared. These things are trapping and ensnaring things. You know, if you can't live without some of these conveniences, and if you can't put them away in your life, then at least do your best to protect your children or protect your spouse from the effects of them. You say, well, I don't think they have any kind of issue. That doesn't matter. That's the problem. The problem is we don't think. We don't think, and the unthinkable happens. Notice the last one there. Or is offended or is made weak. Again, that's the one that means diseased or feeble. A permanent condition. There are things in this world that a certain amount of exposure to them, I wouldn't say permanent condition because the Lord Jesus Christ can heal anything, I believe. But they'll give you a condition. Our world is full of people with a condition. These things will give you a condition. We have never had a more orchestrated attack than we have today. Of sensual things, of covetous things. I mean, a commercial gets done and you just about got to buy whatever was on that commercial. I mean, they know how to add a little smoke to the tires as that car rounds the bend on that commercial to make it look like it's got some horsepower and is burning the tires. Sometimes it's ridiculous because I know it's a front-wheel drive vehicle and the rear tires are burning rubber. But they know how to make your blood pump. And they know how to mix the right music. And they know how to mix all these things together. And our teenagers, they're walking around and they're listening to sensual music and they're seeing sensual images constantly. And you know, there's two billboards on I-75 right now that would make me just not want to take I-75. We may be approaching a time in which we're going to have to take the back roads everywhere we go. We're getting close. They're pushing the limits all the time. Pushing it out there further and further. There were so many things just in my lifetime that did not exist before, and we have no data to calculate the effect. But I'm telling you, there is one. All of these things combined together, television, the radio, the internet, we need to be aware. See that you walk circumspectly. Your children will be wiser and craftier. They have more time, and they will always know more about technology than you. That's the way it is. They will always know more about it. You know, you get to an age where the clocks on your DVD players and things always just blink because you're like, oh, I don't feel like figuring that out. I don't have time to figure that out. I'm already there. And everything I've got's got a clock that blinks. Like, I don't have time to figure that out anymore. I tell you what, you find a kid, they'll tell you how to do it. They know all about it. They know all about how to get in there and make it look like they were never in there. Got to be prepared. We need to have a plan of action. We need to be aware, not just kids, but for grandkids, for anyone that visits our home, for our spouses. We've got to be up on these things. We've got to understand what's going on in our world. We need to be aware of the temptations that are in our lives, that we place in other people's lives. We need to be aware of these things. See then that you walk circumspectly. You would be wise. Again, it's very tempting to think, well, I just don't think that there's an issue there. That's the problem. When I began to preach about these things and I was ridiculed, I knew that almost every kid at the conferences that I was at was being affected by MTV. And things worse than that. Because they told me. They told me what they were involved in. They told me what was going on, and their parents had no clue. And I don't say that as a shame to their parents. These things came fast. I mean, just in our lifetime, just in my lifetime, the VCR tape was essentially non-existent, and it is non-existent again. Companies are beginning to scale back DVD production and close down DVD plants because now we just stream it. DVD companies are going out of business. VCR companies already did. DVD companies are now going out of business. It's changing fast. And I'm scared to death of what I'm going to miss for my kids. What is it that I'm going to miss? And I'm not going to be aware of. We need to examine everything that comes to into our home. How can I put a railing around this? How can I put a lid on this? How can I put a chain on this? How can I handle this? I don't believe any child has ever grown up and said, you know, at the end of their life and said, you know, I just got ruined. I was just too sheltered. It's never happened. I was more sheltered than any kid I know. And the only thing I would change about my childhood is I wish I was more sheltered. Wish I was just a little bit less trusted. I really do. Because what few areas I did get into are painful to me. Scars in my mind to this day. Painful things. A burden that I carry around because of that in my mind. We have to be aware. Circumspect. Looking around. Looking in every direction. Looking at everything. Examining everything that comes into our lives and into our homes especially. Our sphere that we are responsible for. Our home. That we would make sure to put railings and chains and covers on everything that needs a railing, chain, and cover for our children, our grandchildren that might stay the night in our home, whatever it may be. There is no convenience that comes into our lives that is more important than those things. Just the evil that I want you to fear, I guess, is unawareness. Because it's going to keep changing. I can't fathom what would be after the internet and the smartphone. I pray that it's the coming of the Lord. I really do. But you know, when before those things came, we couldn't fathom those things. And I don't know what's coming next, and I do pray that it would be the coming of the Lord. But we just need to think about these things, to be aware. You can't trust kids. You can't trust teenagers. Especially in the world that we live in, that they are more pumped up on sensual things than they have ever been. It's not like the world that it once was. Far more images, songs, music, lyrics than there has ever been in the past. And I can't stress it enough because as a young man, I was wounded by these things. And you would never think it. And that's the problem. We just simply need to be aware. Thank you.